Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Well, floods have dominated the news of late in certain parts of the world, causing loss of life and much damage. In the United States, the president declared as disaster areas those sections of the country affected by the winds and water associated with Hurricane Fay. It was fortunate that Hurricane Gladys, which followed Fay, stayed out to sea. Hurricane hunters who checked the eye of the storm declared it to be the Western Atlantic's most intense storm in 15 years. A converted Air Force cargo plane made reconnaissance over the eye of the storm as lightning flashed. Slipping out of the eye, the plane slammed into a blanket of ice and was tossed violently by the storm's 140-mile-per-hour winds. A cup of coffee carelessly left on a table was lifted 6 feet into the air and crashed onto the steel floor, so great was the turbulence. The jolt in the ice left two of the flight deck instruments disabled. You can be sure the flight crew was glad to return to its base in Miami, headquarters for the National Hurricane Center. Altogether, we're told, at least 45,000 storms occur each year throughout the world. Storms are often unpredictable, and the new satellite system operated in connection with our space program is trying to do something about forecasting our future weather. Here's a space note with Willard Scott reporting.
15 years ago last April, NASA launched the country's first research weather satellite, Tyros 1. It was to be the ancestor of a long and distinguished line of spacecraft descendants. Descendants, which have evolved into an operational system of space weather watchers, now used routinely in daily forecasting. But the evolution of meteorological satellites is far from finished. NASA, working with other federal agencies as well as other nations, is continuing its research and development role, testing new systems and instruments as part of a major effort to improve the accuracy of weather forecasting. Meteorologists feel that with the aid of satellite data and computer processing, accurate forecasts extending to 1 and perhaps 2 weeks can be achieved in the relatively near future. This has been a NASA space note.
Unusual things happen during storms. A house trailer being pulled by a car was blown over by high winds on Interstate 81 near Winchester, Virginia. By the time the police and tow truck had arrived, the wind had blown the car and trailer back to an upright position. The occupants continued on their way. A most unusual story, however, occurred 100 years ago, when some Methodists in a North Carolina town decided they would build a church. They knew the perfect location, but didn't have the money to buy the land. The wealthy owner of the property, Sam Sadler, twice turned down the church group, suggesting they find another place to build. He wanted to sell the land at a good profit. A few days later, this Methodist group was offered another site on which to build their church. It was on a side street, not as centrally located as the main street spot that they had wanted. It was free, however, and they accepted it. Well, soon they scraped up enough money to build a one-story wooden frame church. It was erected on brick pilings. 3 days after completion of the church, there was the dedication. No sooner was the service ended when a storm began. Strong winds ripped through the area, and rain fell in torrents for 24 hours. Trees were toppled, roofs blown off their frames, and the city became a disaster area with 5 feet of water on some streets. No sooner had the waters risen when looking down the street, one could see a building floating, almost serenely, heading down Main Street. There it stopped momentarily, and at an intersection it turned and continued on a few hundred yards. It suddenly swerved and settled on an open lot. Yes, you guessed it. The church had come to rest on the Sadler lot, the lot that had been refused to these Methodists. The next day, as the storm ended and business returned to normal, Mr. Sadler went to the register of deeds in the town and said, "Make out a deed. Deed the lot to the Methodists, and see to it that it can never be taken away." "I've had my warning," said Sadler. "I don't want another." Though a new building has since been erected, the old building still stands. A sign out front in Swan Quarter, North Carolina, bears the biblical passage which says, "The place which the Lord thy God hath chosen." Following the flood of 1972 that was described as the worst in the history of the eastern United States, we received this letter from one of our readers who gets our publication, The Radar News. He writes, "I believe these disasters, terrible as they have been, are only light afflictions when compared with what is yet to come. The great lesson to be learned is the material possessions which seem so substantial can all be swept away in a moment." Then he notes, "While the devastation of the floods was taking place, I saw in our local newspaper that a parade of homosexuals was going on in Dallas, Texas." He adds, "When I study all the news events taken together, I get the impression that these days are similar to the days of Noah." The final observation, he observes, "I noticed that the areas involved in the floods did not include any giant population centers such as New York, Washington, or Philadelphia. Because of the sins in our cities," he writes, "I believe the great cities are reserved for the fiery judgments of the tribulation, perhaps nuclear destruction." One cannot read of floods without being reminded of the great flood of Noah's day. Just recently, we read where a Miami geologist conceded a worldwide flood may have resulted from the polar ice cap, which was then located on the U.S.-Canadian border, collapsing, melting in northern rivers, and surging south, where it raised ocean levels by 15 to 30 feet. Dr. Cesare Emiliani says in Science magazine that this flood could be the same one experienced by Noah in the Bible. Emiliani, together with Dr. Jerry J. Stipp, based the flooding theory on core samples taken from the floor of the Gulf of Mexico in 1971. Fossil shells found in the cores indicated the effects of melted ice water, which has a lower oxygen content than ocean or river water. Witnessing floods also makes us think of the Lord's words that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. As a flood came and destroyed all living during the antediluvian period, so destruction is seen coming upon the earth unparalleled since the day when Noah was alive. Peter speaks of this saying, "Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, so the heavens and the earth, which are by the same word kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Floods are terrible as they carry everything in their path, bringing ruin and destruction to life and property. However, as we said, the worst flood is still ahead, when this world will be bathed in fire and drenched in blood. Peter goes on to explain, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Did you hear it? "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved," writes Peter, "what manner persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Indeed, my friends, in view of the coming of our Lord, we should be prepared to escape this coming awful catastrophe by trusting Christ as Savior and Lord, then found living for him when he comes. The Apostle Paul likewise speaks of our Lord as coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. It's a sobering question we might ask today. In which group will we find ourselves when Jesus comes? Will we be among those who know not God? Surely with churches flourishing and gospel broadcasts going forth, you would suppose men everywhere would know who God is. John writes, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Yes, you can know God by knowing Jesus Christ. Our Lord could say on earth, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Indeed, our Lord was God. As the Apostle Paul declared, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Well, it sounds like this news commentator has gone to preaching. Nevertheless, we're constrained to repeat the words of the Apostle Paul, who reminds us when Jesus comes, when he's revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, he'll take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we would point out that the gospel is not only to be believed, it is to be obeyed, to be lived out in our lives. We call ourselves Christians and we lie and cheat and steal and commit all kinds of immorality. We do not fit the category of those found obeying the gospel. We hear a lot about believing and believe we must. It's simple faith that saves us when we come to Christ and trust Him as Savior and Lord. We hear a lot about eternal salvation. We believe salvation is a gift from God. It is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But again, we'd refer to Hebrews 5:9, which speaks of Christ as the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Do you see the importance of obedience? No easy believism taught here. Eternal salvation is linked to obedience as well as to faith. Sorry to say, there are those succumbing to the devil's temptations. They don't seem to be able to resist his alluring and evil ways and stumble so easily, so quickly. However, in closing, let me give you a verse in Isaiah 59:19, which tells us, "When the enemy cometh in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him." Ah, what a promise! No need, my friends, to be defeated, even if the devil comes in as a flood of temptation. Look at Daniel, enticed by the king's offer of wine, refusing to drink it, for he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. How many today would be spared the heartache of drug addiction and the tobacco habit and alcohol if they would only purpose in their heart to yield to Christ instead of surrendering to Satan? Even though he comes at you like a flood, you can resist him, not by your own strength, but through the power of the Spirit of God who raiseth up a standard against him. Look at Joseph, who ruled over Pharaoh's house. And when his beautiful wife grabbed him, saying, "Lie with me," we see Joseph making a hasty exit rather than commit immorality with Pharaoh's wife. 1 Corinthians 6:18 we read, "Flee fornication." How many today are enticed by this sin? How many there are who would not be ready to meet the Lord if he were to come, for they are found in a sinful relationship? Ah, yes, regardless of the enticement of Satan, should he come in as a flood, an overpowering temptation, God is able to raise up a standard against him. That standard is the power of Jesus' name. That standard is the blood of Christ that is the sign of Satan's defeat. That standard is the word of God, which is as a sword to drive off the enemy. Today you need the flood tide of God's Spirit in your life to defeat the flood-like opposition of Satan. Praise God, through the victory won by Christ on the cross of Calvary, you need not know defeat. You can stand on the promises of God and through faith in Jesus Christ be victorious over every foe and made ready and kept ready for our Lord's soon coming. For remember, he hath said, "Be therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."
Will you be ready?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.